Trend number five, building the faster and more reliable internet. Driven by mobile applications and video, internet traffic is expected to more than double by 2013. In the short history of the internet, we've grown accustomed to its increasing speed, increasing reliability, and increasing adaptability. But unless two major challenges are addressed, the limitations of the underlying infrastructure will begin to create barriers to progress in the very near future. The first fundamental internet challenge that needs to be addressed is resiliency. As Bennett Davis of New Scientist magazine reminds us, the past decade has shown that the internet is more vulnerable to accidents, earthquakes, or misplaced ships' anchors than anyone expected. As he describes it, there are perhaps hundreds of places around the world where the net seems to be hanging by a thread. That's because much of the internet's physical infrastructure is decades old and badly in need of upgrades. But tearing up sections of the network and rebuilding them from scratch is not feasible, nor is it likely that governments and telecom companies will bear the enormous costs of laying extra connections simply to insure against temporary disruptions. So how can we realistically make the internet more resilient? Nick McKeon, a computer scientist at Stanford University in California, thinks he has the answer. According to McKeon, the key to improving the internet is to improve its traffic controllers. In other words, its routers. There are millions of routers that link up the thousands of networks that make up the internet. They direct the flow of traffic, and when a connection breaks, they step in to help divert traffic around the break. Unfortunately, at the present time, routers can be very slow to find a way around the blockage. That delay can result in backups so huge that messages end up being discarded. And the impact of that type of loss could be huge. Consider what's at stake. First, online commerce is now worth more than $7 trillion annually, representing about 12% of global GDP, and it's growing rapidly. Second, even in the physical world, modern businesses depend on the internet for everything from monitoring the inventory in stores to monitoring what customers are saying about products on Twitter and Facebook. Third, electric and water utilities use the internet for information exchange and remote diagnostics. Delayed or lost messages could lead to costly errors and major service disruptions. Fourth, banks and stock exchanges around the world swap financial data via the internet. They rely on real-time market information and execution of instructions. And fifth, transportation systems rely on the internet to handle an enormous number of time-sensitive transactions. Everything from airline passenger ticketing to truck routing depends on timely access to data. Clearly, in a world that now depends on real-time access to every bit of data, even a small delay in routing internet traffic can affect the bottom lines of a multitude of businesses. The simplest solution to this problem would be to update router software, but the challenge is in testing that new software. As McKeon explains, testing needs to take place on a large network, one that has all the complexity of the internet but is physically isolated from it. Nothing like that exists. Reacting to this situation, McKeon, along with Stanford colleague Guru Paralkar, developed a system called OpenFlow that can alter a router's control software on the fly. A small OpenFlow program can be added to almost any router, where it acts like a remote control for the proprietary algorithms and hardware inside, allowing someone to take control of the way the router directs traffic. This technology is timely since it gives a boost to a team of researchers who have been constructing a huge new national network for the purpose of testing. This project is called the Global Environment for Network Innovations, or GENIE. McKeon and his colleagues have come up with a plan that will allow GENIE to be deployed much more quickly and cheaply, and it will largely be able to use existing routers, switches, and cables. By 2015, we could see a thriving community of developers creating open-source software to redefine how the internet works. The second major challenge facing the internet is the very real possibility that download demand will outpace bandwidth supply. Driving this will be an increase in larger downloads as high-definition internet video becomes the norm. The cost of upgrading the internet to meet the coming boom in download demand using conventional technology would be prohibitively expensive. At least two solutions have been proposed by researchers that just might meet this challenge and keep the internet from stagnating at a disappointing level. Today, 99% of internet traffic volume is devoted to large downloads such as movies, medical scans, and financial data, even though these represent only 1% of all data transfer sessions. However, despite the differences in volume and size, the internet treats all data the same. It's chopped up into packets and sent through the network in tiny pieces. For very large streams of data, like movies, this is highly inefficient. MIT researcher Vincent Chan explains that an alternative way of streaming data called optical flow switching is possible. It provides a direct link between two users, which they can use for a few seconds all by themselves. Users would access this express lane by sending a request over the normal internet. Then, within a few seconds, the data start flowing at enormous speeds over the dedicated channel. Another potential solution to the bandwidth challenge is the development of fiber optic technology that breaks the 100 gigabit barrier using existing fiber. Currently, the internet's fiber optic backbone is limited to 10 gigabits of data per second. This was fine in 1996 when we were accessing the internet by dial-up, but now it's at risk of becoming overwhelmed. The tenfold increase to 100 gigabits is achieved by changing the way digital ones and zeros are represented across the fiber. Traditionally, this has been achieved by switching a laser beam on and off. However, over 10 gigabits, signals in a fiber start to blur together. The 100 gigabit system abandons on-off switching in favor of changing the phase of the light waves. In addition, polarization can be applied. With this technology, the distance between nodes is still limited to 1,000 to 1,500 kilometers, but for the majority of traffic in the U.S. and Europe, this is sufficient. A new 900-kilometer phase-modulated link is already successfully running between Paris and Frankfurt. This just might point the way to the future. Recognizing the need to build a faster and more stable internet, we offer the following four forecasts. First, internet traffic will grow dramatically by 2014. Increased use of social media, the continuing migration of retail transactions to the web, the proliferation of smartphones, and the explosion of demand for movie downloads and streaming video will combine to strain the limits of the system's bandwidth. For example, Cisco Systems predicts that data traffic on mobile devices will double every year through 2014, increasing 39 times between 2009 and 2014, reaching 3.6 exabytes per month. By 2014, two-thirds of the world's mobile data traffic will be video. Across all devices, Cisco predicts the equivalent of 12 billion DVDs will cross the internet each month by the end of 2014. Video in all forms, including television, video on demand, internet downloads, and peer-to-peer videos on platforms such as YouTube and Facebook, will surpass 91% of global consumer traffic by 2014. Not only will there be more videos clogging the internet's pipes, but nearly half of those videos will need even more bandwidth than today's typical video. Advanced internet video, including 3D and high def, will increase 23-fold by 2014, when they will account for 46% of consumer internet video traffic. This persistent growth in demand will drive enterprising companies and individuals to develop solutions to meet the challenges of an aging internet infrastructure. Second, the solution will be the development of breakthrough technologies rather than the tweaking of older technologies. This always seems to be the case. After record album advancement had peaked, cassette tapes made our music more portable. Then CDs made it more durable and manageable, followed by digital files that offer vastly more portability and flexibility. The same will happen to internet infrastructure. Traditional approaches will be tweaked to wring out the maximum benefit, but will then be replaced by new advances that solve old problems in creative new ways. Third, emerging global download demand will fuel infrastructure upgrades. There's much talk about how growing global demand will overwhelm the internet. Although this may be true in the short run, whenever there's a demand, solutions follow. It is not a zero-sum game where finite resources must be stretched over an expanding number of users. New users will create the revenues to expand and upgrade systems. Companies looking to tap into these emerging markets will also participate in providing the resources that will keep the internet robust. And fourth, widespread fears that computing in general and the internet in particular will create an energy crisis will prove to be overblown. While computing consumes a great deal of energy, that impact is more than offset by the enormous savings it enables. For example, the energy saved by web-enabled telecommuters more than offsets the energy consumption of the technologies they use. Similarly, e-books and online news are dramatically less energy-intensive than their paper-based counterparts. More importantly, these and other information-intensive technologies will enable India and China to transition to middle-class status while using a fraction of the resources per capita that Europe and North America require.